The Truth News Network. You like it straight and can't find that anywhere? Rest easy. Always get the straight shot and always get the truth from the Truth News Network. Here with today's Truth Chapter is Dan Newman.
Can you believe we're actually going to talk about the 2020 presidential election this early? Wow. Well, we are. And one thing is certain. Nothing is certain about 2020 as far as electing a president. Certainly, incumbents always seem to have an edge, but that applies to past U.S. elections. The United States presidential elections are no longer like past elections. Example, 2016 and Donald Trump. But one thing is certain. The landscape and operations of national elections is anything but similar to the past. Civility is gone. Issue-only debates are gone. Political party unity is gone. All of those past elements that controlled national elections have been forgotten and have been replaced with divisiveness. There can be no question that America is totally divided politically. Whether one wishes to term the divisions as Republican and Democrat, liberal and conservative, partisan and nonpartisan, the rift is there. Even not yet having an exact name, we know that political rift is wide, deep, and very strong. That rift will determine the winner in 2020 and every national election in the foreseeable future. Seldom does an incumbent president not run for a successive term. President Trump has announced early in his presidency his plans to run for re-election in 2020. Many feel there will be at least one challenger from the Republican Party. Who is that going to be? No idea at this point. Several have made some noise about that as a possibility, but nobody has said a word in this ramp-up process. No one has confirmed a run against the president from his own party. But what is certain is that Democrats galore are considering, and some have already indicated a go, to throw their hat into the ring. And a ring it will be, and we'll probably call it a circus ring. As a guide for this series of stories about Democrat candidates, and the ultimate prediction by Truth News Net of who will face a Republican challenger in 2020, we will, in each chapter of this series, introduce you to one or two potential Democrat candidates. Our final chapter will introduce you to the person we are fairly certain at this point will be the Democrat Party's choice. As we name each, we will give you inside information about them, bullet point for you their positives and their negatives, and rate their chances to be the Dems' pick to run. In each, we will disclose their views on United States politics, social issues, immigration, foreign policy, and economics. As you certainly know, there are quite a few who have been singled out as possible contenders. We're going to narrow that field for you. But until we give you the scoop on each, let's just get started. Here today is a look and analysis of our first possible 2020 candidate for the Democrat Party nomination for president. Number one, and not based on who will or who won't be the most likely, the least likely to run for Democrat. Just basically, let's just say we're doing this based alphabetically on last name. Our first potential candidate, Michael Bloomberg. Michael Rubens Bloomberg is an American businessman, politician, an author, and a philanthropist. As of June 2018, his net worth was estimated to be a paltry $51.8 billion. That's billion with a B, making him the 8th richest person in the United States and the 11th richest person in the world. He has joined the Giving Pledge, which is a really neat group of billionaires who pledge to give away at least half of their wealth before they die. Bloomberg is a founder, CEO, and owner of Bloomberg LP, a global financial services, mass media, and software company that bears his name. And it's notable for its Bloomberg Terminal, a computer software system providing financial data widely used in global financial services. He began his career at the securities brokerage Salomon Brothers before forming his own company in 1981 and spending the next 20 years as its chairman and CEO. Bloomberg also served as chairman of the board of trustees at his alma mater, Johns Hopkins University, from 1996 to 2002. Michael Bloomberg, as a politician, served as the 108th mayor of New York City, holding office for three consecutive terms, beginning with his first election in 2001. A Democrat before seeking elective office, Bloomberg switched his party registration in 2001 to run for mayor as a Republican. He won a second term in 2005 and left the Republican Party 2 years later. Bloomberg campaigned to change the city's term limits law and was elected to his third term in 2009 as an independent candidate on the Republican ballot line. In 2018, Bloomberg re-registered as a Democrat. He is a Democrat and has been for most of his life. Bloomberg is socially liberal or progressive, and I hate to use that term progressive talking about those that have this philosophy. We'll just leave it at liberal. He supports abortion rights, same-sex marriage, strict gun control measures, environmentalism, and citizenship for illegal immigrants, for example. On economics, foreign, and domestic issues, Bloomberg tends to be conservative or moderate. He opposed a timeline for withdrawal from the Iraq War and criticized those who favored one. We'll get into all of these in detail a little bit later. We're just summarizing his basic fundamental political positions. Economically, he supports government involvement in issues such as public welfare, while being strongly in favor of free trade, pro-business, and describing himself as a fiscal conservative because he balanced the city's budget. He's concerned about climate change and has touted his mayoral efforts to reduce greenhouse gases. Bloomberg has been cited for not allowing many emergency officials who responded to the September 11, 2001 attacks to attend the 10th anniversary observation of that day. He was also at odds with many around the U.S. for not inviting any clergy to the ceremony marking the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Let's look at Michael Bloomberg's social issues. As I said a moment ago, Bloomberg supports abortion rights, stating, quote, "Reproductive choice is a fundamental human right, and we can never take it for granted. On this issue, you're either with us or you're against us," end quote. He has criticized pro-choice politicians who support pro-life candidates. Bloomberg supports governmental funding for embryonic stem cell research, calling the Republican position on the issue insanity. He supports same-sex marriage with the rationale that government shouldn't tell you whom to marry. Bloomberg supports the strict drug laws of New York City. He has stated that he smoked marijuana in the past and was quoted in 2001 saying, quote, "You bet I did, and I enjoyed it." This led to a reported $500,000 advertising campaign by NORML featuring his image and the quote. That's an advertising media buying firm. Bloomberg stated in 2002 that he regrets the remark and does not believe that marijuana should be decriminalized. Let's look at Bloomberg on immigration. On issues of domestic and homeland security, Bloomberg has attacked social conservatives on immigration, calling their stance unrealistic. Quote, "We're not going to deport 12 million people, so let's stop this fiction. Let's give them permanent status." He supports a federal ID database that uses DNA and fingerprint technology to keep track of all citizens and to verify their legal status. Bloomberg has held that illegal immigrants should be offered legalization and supported the congressional efforts of the late John McCain and the late Ted Kennedy in their attempts at immigration reform in 2007. Regarding border security, he compared it to the tides, stating, quote, "It's as if we expect border control agents to do what a century of communism could not, defeat the natural market forces of supply and demand, and defeat the natural human desire for freedom and opportunity. You might as well sit in your beach chair and tell the tide not to come in, he said, as long as America remains a nation dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. People from near and far will continue to seek entry into our country. In 06, Bloomberg stated on his weekly WABC radio show that illegal immigration does not strain the financial resources of New York City, since many immigrants are hardworking and, he said, do not avail themselves of services until their situation is dire. Regarding his position on foreign policy, you can imagine, as mayor of New York City, Bloomberg made trips to Mexico, the United Kingdom, to Ireland, and Israel in the first 4 months of 07. In late 07, he conducted an Asia trip that brought him to China, where he called for greater freedom of information to promote innovation. He attended the United Nations Climate Conference in Bali. Initially, Bloomberg strongly supported the war in Iraq and the rationale for going in. He stated, quote, "Don't forget that the war started not very many blocks from here," alluding to Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan. In regard to the global war on terrorism, including Iraq, he said, quote, "It's not only to protect Americans, it's America's responsibility to protect people around the world who want to be free," end quote. During the 04 presidential election campaign, New York City hosted the Republican National Convention, at which Bloomberg endorsed President George W. Bush for president of the United States. Remember then, that was when Bloomberg was a Republican. Regarding his economics, Bloomberg characterizes himself as a fiscal conservative for turning the city's $6 billion deficit into a $3 billion surplus. However, conservative PAC Club for Growth has criticized him because he increased property taxes and spending while doing so. Being a fiscal conservative is not about slashing programs that help the poor or improve health care or ensure a social safety net, he said. It's about insisting services are provided efficiently, get to only the people that need them, and achieve the desired results. Fiscal conservatives have hearts too, he said, but we also insist on using our brains, and that means demanding results and holding government accountable for producing them. He went on to say, to me, fiscal conservatism means balancing budgets, not running deficits that the next generation cannot afford. It means improving the efficiency of delivering services by finding innovative ways to do more with less. It means cutting taxes when possible and prudent to do so, raising them overall only when necessary to balance the budget and only in combination with spending cuts. It means when you run on a surplus, you save it. You don't squander it. And most importantly, being a fiscal conservative means preparing. Michael Bloomberg said that in a speech to the United Kingdom Conservative Party on September 30th of 2007. Bloomberg has expressed a distaste of taxes, stating, quote, "Taxes are not good things, but if you want services, somebody must pay for them. So they're a necessary evil." We're going to go away for a minute. When we come back, more details about Michael Bloomberg. We're looking today at the first of the potential candidates for 2020 president, a run for the Democrat Party nomination. Sit tight. You're going to want to hear the balance at truthnewsnet.org.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you, too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit HealthMart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
Dear Daddy, dear Mom,
I love you.
I miss you.
Every year, Snowball Express honors the children of fallen soldiers. Hi, everybody, I'm Tony Orlando. Join me in proudly supporting Snowball Express, a nonprofit that creates opportunities to help heal the children of our fallen heroes. We can never repay the sacrifice our soldiers have made, but we can honor them by giving back to their children. Donate now at snowballexpress.org.
We don't tell you what to think, but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.
And that's exactly what we're doing today, giving you some things to think about as we're looking ahead, even though it's a couple of years off, the 2020 election, including the run for the White House. Assuming it's going to be Donald Trump running for re-election representing the Republican Party, who's going to be on the left? Today, one of the possible candidates, Michael Bloomberg. The question most should ask whether or not Bloomberg will actually run. He's indicated several times an interest to run for president in the past, but those runs never materialized. Maybe, just maybe, his ongoing dislike for President Trump and many Trump policies may spur him to enter the race. The two have much history. And remember this, what does every billionaire on earth have? Answer, pretty much everything they want. However, this billionaire, Michael Bloomberg, can make only one political accomplishment claim, that of being New York City mayor, three times. That's right. He succeeded himself two times. You may find it hard to believe that a guy worth $50-plus billion would want the daily horrors of U.S. politics from the White House in his lap 24/7. When pondering that, however, just remember that Michael Bloomberg looks at the world from a bit different perspective than do all but 100 or so people on Earth. Bloomberg is a multi-billionaire who is accustomed to having and doing anything and everything that he wants. United States president is probably on Michael Bloomberg's bucket list, and why not? He, like Donald Trump, has been very successful in private business, and Bloomberg had his personal sojourn into politics as New York City mayor. Arguably, he was very successful in most of the operations that he supervised in New York. Not unlike almost every other politician, after their time in office, they can point to wins and losses, accomplishments and failures, and can, and often do, point to other people and circumstances that played roles in those wins and losses that are often more substantial than even their own. Bloomberg is not just a politician, but a billionaire politician must deal with the negative trappings that come with having lots and lots of money. But on a positive note about dollars for him, he was able to spend approximately a quarter of a billion of his own money that were cost included in his three successful campaigns for the New York City mayor position. Advertising in New York is pretty expensive. Whatever he does next, Bloomberg said when he looks back on his three terms as mayor, he is content to know that he defied special interests. Quote, yes, it's nice to have everybody love you, he said. And yes, I don't like the question, why is your polling down? But the truth of the matter is that if 50 to 60% of the people still think you're doing a good job after 12 years in office, that's pretty good. It's like skiing. If you tell me you don't fall, you're not skiing the double black diamonds. And if you're a skier, you know what runs those are. The absolute most horrifying ski runs on any mountain. Daniel Doktoroff, a deputy mayor in Bloomberg's administration from 2002 to 2008, who is now the president and CEO of Bloomberg, said, quote, Mike is not afraid to be criticized or to be wrong. He cares much less about how people think of him than anyone I've ever known. He's comfortable with himself. He's highly self-confident, yet he doesn't have a big ego. What will determine if a Michael Bloomberg run for the Democrat Party nomination for president will happen? it certainly will not be based on money. If Bloomberg was willing to personally shell out $250 million for the New York City mayor's job, what would it be worth personally for him to run for president? Add his money to what the DNC would throw in, and a Bloomberg campaign would certainly enter the 2020 race way ahead of any Republican candidate in dollars and cents. But here's the big question. Will rank-and-file Democrats support a billionaire from the East Coast? Hillary saw Middle America reject a coastal elite in 2016, her choosing another billionaire. The question is, could Bloomberg copy Trump's ability to fully engage the middle class of America sufficient to win? As American voters, we will not know if Bloomberg will give it a go for a couple more years. We certainly will not know if he can grab that win until that November evening, just two short years from now, in November of 2020. Until then, we at Truth News Net will push ahead, looking at other Democrats who may be ready for a run. And we've got another Democrat or two to talk to you about as potential 2020 presidential campaign candidates for president. You'll be back tomorrow. Incidentally, in this series that we're doing as we look at these candidates, don't think that every day we're just going to be talking about Democrat potentials for the 2020 election. There are lots of other things going on in America that are important to us and important to you. We will break into this series and stay on top of the most important issues. You'll miss nothing of import in national information. You're going to get it here and get the truth of it all every day at truthnewsnet.org. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for looking in. Thanks for joining us. So long, everybody.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.